Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Now, you first came to all of our attention via Soccer AM. I mean, this has got to be well over a decade ago, hasn't it?
It was. Do you know what? I did work experience when I was 16. And
you're now 47.
Yeah, no, 54. No, I'm 37. So it's 21 years. So I started off making teas, coming in every Saturday morning, working for free. And then Lovejoy went, I quite like you, you're all right, you can come back. So I came back the next year, working for free, loved it. Like, I was a massive football fan, well, still am. I was like, oh my God, I'm meeting footballers every week. Like, I'm picking them up from the gatehouse, making them teas. I was like, this is wicked. This is so cool. And then I was like, one day away from going to university, Canterbury Christchurch. I was like, oh, I'm going to be a mess at university. I was like, when I come back, though, I'll come and help soccer around on a Saturday. And I got a call from a woman who used to work here called Pippa. She went, what are you doing tomorrow? I said, I'm going to university. She went, no, you're not. I've had Lovejoy up here, said I have to give you a job. I was like, oh. She went, yeah, but you're not on Soccer AM because there's no spaces. But Tim said, give him a job somewhere. So then when there's a space on Soccer AM, you can come across. So I phoned up the university. I was like, all right. They're like, oh, yeah, looking forward to tomorrow. You know, the induction and Freshers Week and all that. I went, I'm not coming. They went, you what? No, well, they weren't happy. Next day, I was a runner in the sports library.
Just like that?
Just like that.
Now, I don't know whether that is a good or a bad life lesson to teach young'uns, because do you have any regrets about not getting a degree? I mean, could you have done the two sort of side by side?
I don't think I'd be where I am now if I went to university.
It's all about seizing opportunities, isn't it?
I think so, because I wouldn't have done any work. I would have partied the whole time and yeah. I was never good at schoolwork. I tried
hard. So why were you going to go at all?
Because I was going to do sport. I was going to study sport, sport science.
Right.
To become a PE teacher, maybe. I don't know. I didn't know. When I was younger, I had no idea what I wanted to do. So
you were sort of doing it because you felt like you should.
Because that's what everyone does, isn't it?
Like, and you like to go piss up.
Well, yeah, basically. Yeah. I thought this would be wicked. So me and my mate were supposed to be going, and I just had to phone my mate up. Only two of us. He was like, what? Oh, all right, mate. Sorry, pal, I'm going to Sky Sports tonight.
And actually, this would probably be the first place you'd have applied after getting your degree anyway. So you just fast-tracked the system.
Well, yeah, and I had a way in. I was working on the best football show going. I made a few appearances on the box, which I was absolutely shit scared of, but I did it dressed in a nappy with a can of beer and bizarrely went on to be an alcoholic. But yeah, that's for later on. But yeah, so it was a no-brainer. There's a job for you here at Sky. You're earning, I don't know, 10 grand a year. I was like, oh, amazing.
Yeah.
So cool.
Rather than come out with a load of debt from uni.
Exactly.
Listen, I'm not trying to discourage anyone from going to uni, because I'm a big fan of that. But yeah. I would agree that you have to really want it and you have to have an idea about the direction that your life's going to go in.
Yeah, of course.
And actually, if you always wanted this, then why wouldn't you go for
it? But I love football. And I was quite good at football until I sort of found other sort of hobbies to do and then muck it all up. So the second best job in my world is to work in football.
Mm.
Not if you aren't going to be a professional footballer, to work in football. So then someone says, come and do Soccer AM every Saturday. In the week, you'll be in the sports library looking at football footage. Or you can go to Canterbury Christchurch and have a right old session every week and do a bit of work and probably come out with a 2-2 or 2-3, whatever whatever it may be. So I thought, do you know what? I'm coming to Sky. So yeah, I've been here ever since.
And you've kind of grown with the show, haven't you? Your role has got increasingly big. Did that surprise you, how kind of well received you were initially, and then the fact that you kind of took the audience with you on that journey? It's been lovely, actually.
Yeah, it's been great, and I'm really thankful to all, like, so it sounds weird, but like the people who watch it, like the fans of the show, whatever, they're always so nice to me. And it's like, believe it or not, I'm quite shy, still am, but when I was younger I was so shy. So the thought of being on television was like, you're joking. But then obviously Tim was like, oh, you're doing this week, you're coming out with one of the soccer lockers doing, and I was like, and I swear to God, Natalie, I was shaking like that. Aww. Like that. And I was like trying to do impressions. Can't do impressions, they were just all laughing. Like, ah. And then I was Peter the Test Tube Baby. And I remember it to this day. I got cool. I was in the sports library.
Hang on, is that where Tubes came from?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's a fantastic story. So I got a call from the sports library. We were back in the old building, so the sports library was below Soccer M. And Tim was like, oh, hi, Pete. Can you come upstairs? I was like, yeah. And he went, right, that little shit Rocket's gone on holiday. You don't do that in the football season, do you? And I was like, no, you don't. And went, so he can't be Lobster Boy. Because he used to come out as a lobster, 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 fish, to bring the balls out at the end game. And he went, so how do you fancy being Peter the Test Tube Baby? And I was like, sounds a bit weird, Tim.
So weird.
Yeah, Peter the Test Tube Baby. He went, yeah, basically, mate, there was a band in the 70s called Peter and the Test Tube Babies. Your name's Peter, so we're going to dress you up as a baby. I went, oh, fantastic. It was November. Freezing. So I was like, when you say dress me up like a baby, like what do you mean? Because I thought, you're not going to get a nappy my size. He went, no, we're going to get the runner to go down to home base, and she's going to buy a rug, big white rug, and you're going to wrap it around you and then put white gaffer tape around like a big nappy. And as he's saying this, I'm looking at him like, are you all right?
And he went, can I go back to uni, please?
Yeah, I was like, yeah, Canterbury Christchurch, still got that space, I'm coming. And he went, yeah, so we're going to put the conga music on. I was like, this is just getting proper weird. I was looking at him like, this is not real. And he went, yeah, and you're going to have a can of beer. I went, when does a baby ever have a can of beer? He went, yeah, so you're going to come out with the balls, have a can of beer, and then just do what you want. He was like, you up for it? I went, he went, don't have to if you don't want it. I went, yeah, I'll give it a go. So the next morning, I'm stuck behind the Soccer AM game, the mat they put on the toilet floor, freezing, my nipples are rock hard, I've got a can of beer, I'm like that, get behind, I'll still get some Dutch courage.
Yeah.
And then I just hear, then I've just walked out, and everyone's going, what's going on here? There's a hairy man in a nappy doing the conga. So I just started like, I just put the beer on my head. I was like, yeah, legendary. I was like, yeah. I just cracked it on my head and went, yeah, and just chucked the balls and went off. They were like, oh my God, that's amazing. I was like, my mum was like,
darling, I saw you on the TV today. What were you doing?
And I was like, yeah, mum. Yeah, I'm Peter the Test Tube Baby now. She's like, oh, I think you should have gone to university. So that went on for ages. And then I'll be like, going like in Epsom, like on the lash with the lads. And they'll be like, you Peter the Test Tube Baby. And I was like, this is weird.
Gets more and more surreal.
Yeah. And then Tim goes, yeah, Peter the Test Tube Baby. I was like, yeah. And he was like, it's a bit long, isn't it, Peter the Test Tube Baby? I went, yeah. He went, let's just call you Tubes. I went, all right.
That's it.
And that's the story.
In the Pink is sponsored by Bose. Treat your ears and your senses with the Bose Noise Cancelling 700 series. Their unrivalled noise cancelling technology means you'll hear and be heard like never before. And touch and voice recognition mean you're free to keep your head up and you'll never miss a thing.
Do you know what? Tim has got this amazing mind, hasn't he? I talked to him on this podcast.
Yeah.
And he kind of went into the fact that he'd had some he's been dealing with depression for a long time, and he's kind of almost got this alter ego. But there is no doubt in his mind that he comes up with these crazy ideas that just seem to work. And I think from the outside looking in, what he identified in you was something really special because you were shy, because you are shy. It's really likeable. It's really endearing. You're not there to sort of jazz hands show off to the world.
No,
you're just like, and I think speaking as a fan of the show and a football fan and a fan of yours, I think that's what makes people want to watch you because they feel like they're your mate. Like I could go out for a beer with him. Nice and actually, he's just a normal bloke. He's not all singing, all dancing. You know, in a sort of vain, narcissistic sense.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I totally do, and I appreciate your kind words as well, but I think that was the fact that what the sort of basis behind Soccer M getting so popular.
Yeah.
It was like
loads of blokes. Yeah, yeah.
Who didn't really want to be on TV.
Yeah.
Like, you had Robbie Knox, fixtures, man, like these. And he's like, everyone's like, he's not comfortable. And then I'd come out as a baby, not comfortable, drinking beer. Fenner's doing, all these people are just normal blokes.
You're just basically Tim's playthings.
Yeah, just like, you can be a baby for 3 years. All right, cheers, Tim. So it was...
I guess there is a sense in all of us as viewers that it's like that slight buttock-clenching moment, isn't it, that makes it quite compelling to watch.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Because we even say that about Martin Brundle's Gridwalk. I don't know if you've ever watched it.
Yes, I have, yeah.
But obviously, he's a brilliant broadcaster, but it's that sense of jeopardy that you don't quite know what's going to happen next that makes you watch more.
Yeah.
And you sit there going, oh, Christ, this is really painful, but I've just got to keep watching.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, especially if someone blows him out or doesn't know who he is and, you know.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, that didn't work out so well. But that's...
He does take it quite well, though. When
he takes it brilliantly.
He's so good, to be fair. I've seen that a few times.
I think people would much rather watch that than sort of slick...
A polished presenter speaking, exactly. Oh, look who's just turned up here to my right. Yeah. Waiting for you. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I totally agree. I love all that.
Yeah. And it makes you more human, doesn't it?
Yeah, I suppose that's why when I started being a rapper, kicked off as well, because people are like, oh my God, what's he going to do now? What's he going to chuck on his head? Or what Hollywood A-listers are going to upset? Do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I suppose that's...
I used to watch that from behind a pillow, because I was like, oh my God, what's he going
to
say?
I used to bloody do it behind a pillow. Yeah. I was like, what am I doing now? That was the scariest times I've ever had.
In the Pink is sponsored by Tag Heuer. Swiss avant-garde since 1860. Excellence, precision and elegance. Their timepieces are designed for those who love challenges. Make sure you run like clockwork and never miss a thing. But were there occasions where it did fall flat and you were like, oh, fuck, that was painful?
Yeah, I got the rap wrong a few times. Forgot my words. Loads of times.
Go on, think of one that stands out.
Who was that girl who was in My Name Is Earl? Nadine Nakastris. But I completely blew it with her.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because I was trying to be all cool and I was asking for a date. I went to do a rap. I can't remember what I said. And it just went wrong. And the whole audience just went... Rah.
It wasn't the one where she said, do we get to go for a curry? Was it that one?
There was one.
Who was that? She was like, you're well fit. Will you go for a curry? I can't remember.
I think that was Carmen Electra.
What?
Yeah.
God, you've had some massive stars, haven't you?
There's been some big ones. There's been some weird ones as well. Like, I remember when Bruce Willis, I turned up.
Oh, my God.
It's mad, isn't it? But when you must know, you've done all this before. When you go to a junket, you have to sit outside the room, don't you? Waiting like that, like you're going to into our sport room. Like, next, please, like that. And I'm like, I've seen, like, 2-3 geezers run out of the room, like, sprinting. I'm like, oh, my God, someone's seriously ill. I'm like, in my fucking George little t-shirt and me rubbish little jeans and my little Converse, everyone's suit and boot, like, oh yeah, go see your Bruce, yeah, I'm like, yeah, whatever. They've sprinted past me, everyone's going, what's up, what's up? And they're like, Bruce is hungry. I'm like, what? They were literally doing 100 metres because Bruce Willis said he was hungry. So I was like, right, okay, this is not good. And then they came out and went, tubes, about the rap. I went, yeah. They went, what are you going to say? I was like, I've no idea. I said, I'm just trying to think about it now. They went, yeah, we don't know if Bruce would like it. I went, oh. And I'm thinking, in deep down, I'm going, that's brilliant. That's why I want him not to like it. So it's all weird. They went, can you rap to an empty chair? And then we bring Bruce in for the question? I went, absolutely not. How's that going to work?
Were you that assertive? I think that's quite brave.
Oh, yeah. I said, no. Yeah. Well, the whole point is to see their reaction to what some tubby fella from Cobham trying to be a rapper. Do you know what I mean? I went, that's not going to work, is it? But anyway, he was great. Denzel Washington had me in a headlock going down the Savoy Hotel, which was the weirdest. That was a great one. I walked into the room, and then all these ITV people, BBC, they all used to sit in the middle talking amongst each other like they were like good mates with the film stars. I used to sit in the corner and play Snake on my Nokia. And they went, are you here to do Denzel? I went, yeah. I've not just turned up at wherever it is, Claridge's, for a laugh to sit with you lot. I went, he's going to hate you. I went, oh, that's fantastic to know. What are you going to ask him? What's the rap? I was like, I don't know. Like, so.
Did you honestly not know? Did you not work it out until the moment?
Because I used to get there like an hour before.
Yeah.
So I used to sit in the corner just doodling. I was like Denzel. And I used to just pick three or four words that rapped and at random and then just make it up. Or sometimes I thought about it on the way, on the train. So I was like, they were like, you know, he's got a bad reputation, you know. I was like, okay, well, you know. And I took it as, I'm never going to see him again.
Yeah.
Denzel's not going to say to me after, do you want to go for a beer or anything, is he? Let's be honest. So I thought, I don't care if he doesn't like it. So I've gone in, and he's all like serious. I'm like, oh, hi, Denzel, nice to meet you. He's like, hey. So I said, you're top man, you are Den. I've been rapping since I was 10. Ooh, rapping's for life, not just for Christmas. Like that, and I've gone, oh, no, no, no. And I was like, there's no noise. And I've got my head down like that. And I've just lifted my head up. And he's just looking at that. He's just staring at me. I went, hey, we're right, the ITV lot. He's going to go absolutely flip mode. And then all of a sudden, he was brilliant. I was like, anyway, he was like, shut up. I went, oh. I was like, yeah, yeah, I really like you. He was like, shut up. And I was like, screaming. I was like, yeah, but he's not. I could tell he wasn't being serious. And it just went into this brilliant sort of dialogue of just nonsense. He was like, what would your mum say? I should have, she'd be like, oh, wow, you're sitting next to big Denzel like that. And he was like creasing up. So anyway, he got me in a headlock. He was going, that was, hey, man, get this guy back. And he walked me all down the corridor, past all the ITV lot, who just went, for the sake of the podcast, they all just turned their heads and went, he was like, Tubes, don't fuck with big Tubes. Like, they were like, oh. It went okay then, did it? It was all right. So there's loads
of that. Actually says a lot about him. I think it's always people's reactions that, you know, you learn a lot about that person in that moment. Now, our friends at Bose have given us the opportunity to give away some headphones. We love these headphones, the noise-cancelling 700s that we've been talking about all the way through this series. So what we're going to do is ask you to suggest a guest for In the Pink, and the suggestion that we like the most will win a pair of headphones. Tag five friends into your post to share it, and then they've got the chance to win some as well further down the line. So nice and easy. Just tell us someone that you want, obviously within reason, because, you know, I'd obviously like to go and interview Bradley Cooper, but frankly, it probably won't happen. Ryan Gosling maybe, yeah, but we'll see. Yeah, let me know what you think for In the Pink. That rhymed, didn't it?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.